And this is the fifth lecture of the Third South African, Friday, January 27th, AD 11. Okay, now that you have gotten yourselves beautifully confused and involved concerning cases, we'd better go back to a few fundamentals. There are approximately 25 parts of the mind, and what you're handling basically is locks, secondaries, and engrams. And these are handled in any event by processes. You can't help but run into them. You think maybe you could run a process without ever running into one of these things? Well, it's impossible. Any process runs into them. When they are very severe, the PC sticks in them. Usually the process that ran him into them will run him out. Usually. But that is said with great reservation, because the process, get into an engram, thank you, get into an engram, thank you, would not run him out, probably. And you were dealing with a-a-thetan. Theta, Greek letter representing thought, has represented thought now for about 2,500 years or thereabouts. So we're perfectly justified in using it a la mathematical symbol to represent the life unit, namely you. Now, this here thetan, he sure gets into lots of trouble. He gets into trouble in various and devious ways. And he responds to this trouble in various and devious ways. The first thing he does is axiom two. Now, there are only two truths. Only two truths. Axiom two and axiom one. And all other things are considerations. That's very interesting, isn't it? Although we have 290-some Dianetic axioms and pre-logics and so forth. Logics. More than that. Most of these are considerations, except those first two. A thetan is. And he makes things. And that's about it. The reductio ad absurdum of this, just peeling it down to that, of course, doesn't bail anybody out of trouble. And Spinoza, Schopenhauer, Kant, any large catalog of, I think they were all brains. And dealing with all the philosophic bric-a-brac of existence, had it stacked up to about 2,776,971 separate data. Now, in Dianetics, it boiled down to about 293 data. Pretty good. Scientology, it boils down to about 57 data. It's getting down, isn't it? So on this lecture, I'm boiling it down to two data. You and your abominable habit of creating. Now, the more we see life, the more complex it seems, because everybody has an opinion. Now, if we add all the opinions to all the philosophical nonsense and add to this Buddhism, its squirrel activity, Lamaism, add to that Taoism, add to that Christianity and Mohammedanism, add all the separate considerations of the Hamoiseans and the Hamusians. You didn't know who they were. Well, actually, they were two Christian sects that had a vast difference. They killed each other off for centuries. Any given year, they killed more Christians than the entire Roman Empire ever did in its purges. The only difference between their considerations was that one spelled it with an I and the other omitted it. Yeah, one year they killed off, one of the sects killed off 100,000 of the other of the sects in Alexandria alone because of vast divergences of opinion. So we see that opinions must be precious to a Thetan. He gets so many of them and gets into so much trouble with them, and he gets mired down so thoroughly in his convictions of them. Well, now, some of these mired downs give us the physical universe and the life we live, and we've got them, as I just said, boiled down to about 300-some Dianetics and about 56, 58, something of that sort in Scientology. This means that we're subjected to a lot of opinions. Because, of course, when you bring about this much simplicity, you blow off a lot of confusion. When you introduce a stable datum, you blow off confusion. You introduce a good, stable, duplicated process that reaches the Thetan right where he lives, and you see the confusion come off. Similarly, in life, you put in a stable datum, you'll see confusion start blowing. Well, when you look at all these opinions, which are crisscrossed, and all these sects, which held fantastic opinions about each other and so forth, you'll see that man has an awful lot of confusion to blow off, huh? So it is pretty adroit trying to find a single track that is the stable track. There are only two truths. Only two. All other things are opinion. Postulates, agreed upon postulates. Some of these are agreed upon so thoroughly they become what you call natural laws. The laws of physics are simply agreed upon facts. It isn't necessarily true that Newton's laws of motion are true. It isn't true at all from a standpoint of absolute truth. They are considerations of Thetans, and you've agreed upon them so heavily, and you agree upon them so often and so constantly, that they appear to have an ultimate nature. They appear to have enormous truth. Well, what are you going to do with somebody like this who is so convinced? In view of the fact that natural law, then, is a conviction, or convictions, agreed upon, hammered in, pounded, punished if you don't believe them, that sort of thing. Now, for instance, if you don't believe that wall's there and you throw a body at it, you get punished, right? They're all rigged like this, one way or the other, but the consideration is that you get punished if you throw a body at the wall. That's a consideration, too. We find that the highest form, as was stated in the late autumn of 1952 in the Philadelphia lectures, is conviction. That is all. Person is convinced. Now, he can be convinced of these natural laws as represented in Dianetics and Scientology and lead a fairly decent life. But when he starts getting aberrated convictions, which are not in agreement and which are counter-opposed to some of these other laws, he starts leading a very miserable life. Now, we're not trying to unconvince everybody of everything because you wouldn't have any universe left. You would put your foot down on the pavement and you would go through. But we are saying that there is a certain agreed upon body of knowledge, and that holds this universe here and keeps life whizzing and roaring. And you have to strip off the additives. Such an additive, horses sleep in beds. Somebody believes this. He believes this with perhaps even greater conviction than he believes in Newton's law of interaction. That's pretty good. It isn't Newton's law, though I was running into it a long time before Newton came along. Now, we have to find where this Thetan lives and what he's most obsessively creating in order to separate him out from his misery. In other words, the first two axioms are true. You are. You exist. And you create. Cycle of action is just create. Create, 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 so that it looks like a survival. And then no create or counter create, which of course looks like destruction. Something disappears. Even the cycle of action then is backed up with create. And so are all things in life backed up in create. But create has been so beefy, so extremely strong as a process, that when you run creative processes, somebody who is mired down toughens up his own bank. Now, this was not a catastrophe for us. This was a very happy circumstance. Because it proved conclusively that memory is not stored, it is created. Because you start to run create on some part of the bank, and you improve the Thetan's ability to create, and other parts of the bank get created. Interesting, huh? You create the year 1921 up to a point where the individual can really get good three-dimension, you know, color, sound, smell, voice. And you find that 1922 has gone the same way. You also find that 1815 has gone the same way. You're also liable to find that a year 2 trillion years ago has happened up the same way. In other words, you improve his ability to create, and you, quote, improve, unquote, his whole bank. In view of the fact that he's been in many circumstances that he believes he cannot tolerate, you, of course, have improved his creativity of those. So, you improve his ability to create, and all of his engrams get stronger. And he may have had an engram not ised, which is a bullet in the head. See, and it's been there all the time. For instance, one of you today turned on a headache for the first time, and you think that's bad. You just un-not is something. You've been probably working overtime day and night keeping that headache not ised. Now all of a sudden somebody runs something that un-not ises it, and it materializes. You'll find attention units have been used all this time to keep the not is going. See, you create over here with your right hand, then you take your left hand and you squash it into a non-createdness. So here's an enormous investment of effort in keeping something created with the right hand, plus an enormous investment of effort uncreating it with the left hand the wrong way, too. Of course, the right answer is, what are you doing creating it in the first place? Well, you don't find out you're creating it in the first place until you take the not is off of it. You take the not is off of it, bang, there's a headache. You say, wow, this is terrible, this is awful, something horrible is happening here. Well, that's just taking the not is off. Let's take another aspect of it. Let's improve the Thetan's ability to create. And whether you take the not is off or not, he's going to get a hole in his head. If you did it 100%, if you made a Thetan's ability to create 100%, suddenly, he'd look like a sieve. See, as the body he's in, it'd look just like a sieve. Every pitchfork that was ever shoved into him by the revolting yeomanry, every bullet, arrow, bolt, he'd look like a porcupine, you know. He'd be surrounded by dead. He'd be a mess, man. Because you would have improved his ability to create, and he would have gone on and created what he didn't want to create anyhow. So we can also say that a Thetan is knuckleheaded. That's probably one of the great truths. That probably should be number three of the absolutes. But where you're processing somebody, you're inevitably running into this ability to create. He does not store memory. There is no standard bank. There is no really any reactive mind. There is his ability to create. And he's being totally irresponsible for it. And therefore, it goes whir-clank. Now, you could take some cases that are way upscale, and you could probably run, what responsibility could you take for what creation, or some such process? And the individual would probably go clear. But he's probably already practically clear, you see. So that's no kind of a process to be digging up. You know, it's one of these processes that's way up in the upper story. Oh, yeah, it'll work on some cases. Fella comes in, all Thetan muscle and beautiful condition. What responsibility could you take for creation? Sure, you'll go on up to OT. Why not? But we's not interested in just getting those few. We'd like to get the ruddy lot. We're hungry. We're greedy. We don't like these partial percentages. Now, this all boils down to just this. What is the Thetan creating? And that is an assessment. What is he prone to create? What is he liable to create at odd moments that he doesn't know about? He gets an obsession on this, and it requires no knowingness to do it. And that's what looks so mysterious. He obsessively or compulsively creates and counter-creates. And doing this, he, of course, gets it, you might say, into a habit where he does it obsessively. He does it without knowing it. And he is very surprised to see this picture in front of his face. Where did it come from? He created it. That's where it came from. When did he create it? Well, he's probably been creating it to some degree right straight along. And as you process it up, it starts to go on through. What you do with the process then is nullify compulsive and obsessive creation and counter-creation. And that's all a process does. But you have to find out what this fellow's creating in order to get him off the launching pad. Now, it's pretty obvious that he's creating some things. He'll tell you these in his goals. He says, well, he said, I would like to live in peace with my wife. That would be new and unusual. And I would like to do that in processing. Well, now, he's just told you he's creating a bum situation with his wife, but you don't just jump down his throat and say, aha, so that's what you're creating, huh? Because he would disagree with you. He doesn't realize that he's creating a bad situation there, but he must be creating a bad situation there. It takes two sticks to make a fire, according to the Norwegians. And undoubtedly, he's getting some aid and assistance in creating a bad marital situation. But it still takes two sticks to make the fire. And without those, the second one, why, he wouldn't have any fire at all. But he's one of the sticks, too. Now, the funny part of it is that unless he is attacking something or creating some bad situation, he can't be in a bad situation with his wife. She wouldn't find it possible to continue or maintain a bad situation with him. Simple as this. So you delete the badness that he is investing in this situation, the compulsive obsession knock it on its ear, and you suddenly haven't got this bonfire. Of course, his wife may then fall on her head, but the mystery of it is she has nothing to re-stimulate her creation of a bad situation, and so it tends to pass away. Actually, in many, many cases, all you have to do is straighten out one marital partner to get them both. Very often. Providing you straighten out one fast enough and enough. If you fall short of that, of course, you still have the incipient situation. The best way to straighten out any problem, of course, is straighten out both partners to the problem. But nevertheless, you can get an awful long ways just straightening out one. Now, what is this Thetan creating? That's what you're looking at. He says he has a present time problem. He has a goal, long duration. Well, he must be creating the reverse of it. He must want it while he is busy insisting upon the reverse. See? So he's not in any settled frame of mind with regard to this. So he himself has one set of creations which are opposed to another set of creations, and a mishmash results. And you basically then have a problem. A problem is simply intention, counter-intention, postulate, counter-postulate. That's all a problem is. Two or more opposed forces, ideas, so forth, that's a problem. And that's why dialectic materialism is a problem, you know. Dialectic materialism is a philosophy to keep the people in chains. Some sort of an oddball philosophy that was dreamed up where it says all ideas are the result of two opposing forces. It's marvelous. It's being taught all through the Western world these days under the guise of psychology. You look mostly psychology textbooks. I'm not throwing any knives into them. I'm just trying to wise them up. Maybe they'll hear about it someday. Who knows what Wundtian psychology was? It hasn't been taught since 1879. All ideas the result of two opposing forces. You must have two opposing forces. And out of this, of course, comes the fact that you must have a revolution. This is what China is associated with right now. You must have war. Absolutely necessary. Otherwise, you get no ideas. You find the capitalista is all sold on this one, too. He says you never get any new improvements or machinery or anything unless you have a war. All these new ideas come out of wars. See, so a lot of people have subscribed to this for a long time, whatever they called it. You've got two opposing forces, you get ideas. Well, if you've got two opposing forces, you may or may not get solutions. What you basically have is two opposing forces. And what you absolutely have, of course, is a problem. And I'll tell you, you don't resolve problems by solving them. You solve them by recognizing them. Now, we've got two people, and they have two opposing sets of creations, and they are not in agreement. Therefore, problems result from this situation. Person A has a whole number of confused creations. He doesn't even know what they are. He's just creating things confusedly. And he'd probably get along all right with somebody who was creating exactly the same thing as himself, but that's impossible because even though we're just alike, we still have different experiential tracks. And as we go along the line, why, of course, we have different experiences. You and I could walk out that door together, walk down a block, and we would have had two separate experiences, even though we were walking together, you think. In first place, I would experience you and you would experience me. See, that's for, even though we're together. This doesn't naturally mean a war is going to occur. In spite of China's insistence that there must be a revolution. You know why China's mad at Russia today, don't you? Because Russia says there's a possibility of overthrowing the entire Western world and bringing about communism in it without causing internal revolutions in those countries or declaring war against them. But that is contrary to dialectic materialism. They've parted from this mathematical jerry-built house of cards, you see, and the Chinese are right on the party line. And the party line says, there must be two opposing forces. And that's all they're saying over there. So China says, well, you've got to go to war with everybody. Fortunately, they don't have any atom bombs yet. Interesting, isn't it? Now, that's how nonsensical ideas and convictions can get. China is running on what they think is a natural law, that there must be two violently colliding opposed forces in order for any improvements to take place. I don't know, did you ever see two people fighting on the street, and did you ever see either of them improve? Now, here's this Thetan, and he's looking around him and in a universe, and he has innumerable convictions which are violently opposed to the convictions he finds around him, and he gets totally at war with things, and he gets very upset, and he starts attacking things and getting overt acts and going into different valences, and finally gets so that he can't control himself. How could he control himself? He doesn't even know himself anymore. He doesn't even know who he is or where he is or why. Well, there's no... He can't be himself. He's lost himself someplace. He's in that pillar over there or something. And he's yo-yoing all over the universe and so forth just because he can't orient himself. Well, he's not happy. He's no value to anybody. He's just something else that you run into in opposition. H.A.S. Coadit 2, attack, is quite fascinating as a process. People find it very fascinating to run. You can take people right in off the street and run this attack on them, and they have a ball because everybody is obsessively attacking something somewhere, some degree. But what is he attacking it with? Well, he's attacking it with his own creations. Whatever he thinks he's attacking it with, he's creating what he's attacking it with. Now, there is a process, and I can make this announcement to you. There is a process which can be run, which strips the whole bank. It's a very recent origin. I was looking this over. And for some years now, we have known that what used to be called, or still called, Step 6, or creative drills, beefs up the entire bank. Makes a person pretty miserable. He's unknowingly in one creation, and you get him to create and improve his ability to create, and what he is obsessively creating enlarges and gets more forceful too. And this makes him very uncomfortable. Now, this doesn't happen to everybody. It happens to enough cases to make us wary of using it. So now, I have a way of getting around that. And the most complicated version of it is, it's simple enough. It's a straight axiom 2 process. You might say it's the first axiom 2 process that would work without running into some bad cases. I mean, and it's just willing, unwilling, create. You can, of course, make it even more complicated. You can say, who, what? Are you willing create, who, what, you unwilling to create, who, what is willing to create, what, you know, look at that, you say, well, what would your wife be willing to create, what would she be unwilling to create, who would your wife be willing to create, who would your wife be unwilling to create, that would be your most complex version. But in view of the fact that we're not creating any who's, down to the fundamental truth, although this other more complex version work, you just have, what would you be willing to create? What would you be unwilling to create? What would you be willing to create? And what would you be unwilling to create? And if you're running a terminal along with it, this fellow is in opposition to somebody, you say, what would Joe be willing to create? What would Joe be unwilling to create as the other two commands? And you would get your counter effort in the PC's own bank. He's creating Joe's counter creation, you see. Now, that's a workable process that can be used. It's very extreme as a process. It doesn't have its liabilities, but it is a rough process. That's all. It'd take the curse off of most anything, but it is really the first workable axiom 2 process. Well, that's right upstairs. But you'd find that that would gloriously overshoot a lot of cases. Just because it is a universal process, there's no reason it would be a universal undercut. You go over to Dublin and ask somebody what he means by creation, and you see at once that you have run into a hole in the road. There's some cobblestones missing right there at that point. Because he will declare that it's impossible to create anything, and that nobody could create anything, and that is it. We've already run enough PEs over there, and running PEs, inevitably, it had become almost an Irish shillelagh duel every time we would bring up this define create. This upsets them. I won't go into why, I'll just give you the fact. Poor P.E. instructor always getting so he or she shuddered at the point of the week when we had to bring up create, because it'd be some long drawn out. Everybody would be there until 11 o'clock at night. And there'd be some long drawn out pleading for definitions. And finally you'd get somebody to admit that he could make a chair and that that might possibly have something to do with creation, but probably not. And then after 11 o'clock, why, they'd all go out in the hall and so forth, and you'd hear arguments and occasional fist fights from there on. This was really restimulative. There's nothing against the Irish. I love the Irish. But it just happens to be a fact that you couldn't run any part of this in Ireland. That's just because of the misdefinitions and the connotations of the word create. Fascinating, huh? Now, therefore, it isn't something that would undercut all cases. But it could be run on all cases. They were moved up to it. You have a create process that you can use that does work. Now, in view of the fact that all that Thetan is doing is obsessively creating, or obsessively creating something to back off something that is created, you know, not ising and other things, he's still creating whatever he's doing. Why, you do have a method of, after you've got somebody off the launching pad and got help flat and so forth, you do have some way, a fairly one-shot method of taking them from mess clear on up. There are several ultimate processes I've released recently. That is one of them. It wasn't in the bulletin because it wasn't checked out. Now, that's all very well to go into the high theory of the thing, and you should know the high theory of the thing. Actually, it's why you stop being an artist, you know. I don't know what lifetime maybe you stopped, but sooner or later, why, you slowed down, you started creating and then counter-creating against your creations, and then you decided some of the creations were bad, and then you started being critical of some other artist's creations, and you'd already agreed convincedly that the law of interaction existed. So, of course, by creating his art, you were indirectly going to get your own art created and so forth, and you'd better not create in the art field. Got the idea. So you find, I don't know, if you looked around and found Rembrandt and shoved some chalk in his hand right about now, he'd probably say, "What's this?" and eat it, you know. He wouldn't have anything to do with drawing with it. Probably out. Overcreated. Then somewhere up the line, he suddenly changes his mind, keys out, runs into an auditor or something of the sort, and he's able to do it again. Maybe he gets struck by lightning, and after that obsessively creates lightning, and doesn't bother to create anything he's been creating, and all of a sudden finds out he can paint again. That's why the psychiatrist thinks electric shock works. It just out-creates the person momentarily. Very momentarily. Psychiatric patient that had been given electric shocks and prefrontal lobotomies was asked, after he'd been used as an exhibit on a stage and was in a psychiatry lecture in a hospital, if he'd learned anything about life or anything like this through his treatment. He was asked this by a newspaper reporter. And he said, yes, he had. His first words he'd said since he'd been dragged off the stage as an exhibit. Yes, he had learned something. The reporter wanted to know what. He said, I learned to keep my mouth shut. Now, there is a scale of finding where the PC sits. And the lower part of this scale could be called a formula assessment scale. What formula to run? Now, this opens the door for you on what a formula is and how far it goes and how flexible it is. You saw this scale at the Congress. But of course, I didn't give anybody its use. Starts in at the top. It goes interest, failed interest. Communication, failed communication. Control, failed control. Help, failed help. Overts, failed overts. Withholds, failed withholds. Leaving, failed leaving. Protect, failed protect. Abandon, failed abandon. And then we get inverted help, inverted control, inverted calm, and inverted interest. You'll be given this, or you can copy it. Your leisure. But that is the cycle of deterioration of creation on the part of the individual. It's create cycle. The upper four, help, control, calm, interest, these things are more or less the subject of regimens, and from there on down, it's the subject of formulas. You've got to have the fellow's havingness and his confront before you can run these things straight and get him up to mess clear. But you don't have to have those things to catch him below that point of help. You could actually do an assessment on this. I haven't done too much practicing with this. That is, say, I haven't grabbed cases and done assessments and so forth. But let's take this very difficult case. That's any case you run into, you see. And you want to find out what he's creating obsessively, because you're going to relieve him of that burden. Only by relieving him of that burden can he come off. He doesn't know he's creating this obsessively, but he is. And there it is. Where you get a drop, you have energy masses. Where you get a total stick, of course, you have ridges and so forth. But basically, what drops is potentially real to the preclear. That's quite important to you. What falls on the E-meter dial is potentially real to the PC. It will get real to him. Now, that is a rough rule of thumb, but it gives you a pretty good idea of what's happening here. You have located something he can recognize. Now, we'll take this person who is, well, they're a robber, a thief, intimately connected with government, you know, quite a character. And we take this person, and we run murder, rape, and sudden death, and graft, and all of these things on this person, you know, just as an assessment thing. And we don't get any fall. He doesn't, but they're not real to him. See? But we all of a sudden strike this point of denying his little girl candy. And you get a fall. Fascinating. You get a fall. Yeah, but he just killed three guys yesterday, you know, ordering them to be hanged. I don't know what's the difference between hanging them and ordering them to be hanged from a bench. He isn't up to recognizing that. He's doing it, but he doesn't recognize there's anything bad about it at all. There's nothing bad about it. He's got it all rationalized. But not giving his little girl candy, boy, that's a pretty grim crime. We get some faithless wife, and we find out in running overts, overt withhold on her husband, we find she is, she one time thought she wouldn't get breakfast for him. We know what her record is, you see. The record's fantastic, you know. But this is an overt. And that's also a withhold. And you run these things, and you know something about this person because you've gotten withholds off of them, but nothing fell. You know? They don't recognize any of these things as being having any reprehensible effect upon anybody else, you see. There's no recognition of an overt at all. But just for a moment, thinking one morning that she wouldn't get his breakfast. Now, that was pretty bad. Putting arsenic in his coffee the next morning, that was no overt at all. Logical, rational, so on. Now, I'm speaking here out of a large bin of experience on assessing cases and running OW on cases, and you will find out it's utterly fantastic as you watch some cases run what they think is an overt. You, looking at it from a morally detached, non-involved viewpoint, you know what an overt is, and you know some of the things they've done are awfully overt, and some of the things they've withheld are terribly withholdy. But you get no fall on the meter. But that idea of, well, one morning, they thought they wouldn't get his breakfast. And you get a fall. That's real. That's real to the PC. So in a rough rule of thumb sort of way, reality is pointed out and indicated by a fall on the meter. Unreality, and something you want to get off of, is indicated by a rise on the needle of the meter. That's a non-confront. Now, if you want to get something that's awfully unreal to the PC, trigger something into a rise and then run it. That's great. PC will just flounder, won't have any interest in it, wonder why you're running this, feel very uncomfortable and fidgety, and eventually blow. That doesn't mean you should stop running what you're running every time it rises, because, look, if you didn't get any rises at all, your tone arm would never change. I'm talking about assessment now. You assess something and you get a suddenly trigger a steady rise. Well, something that you have said to the PC in the last two or three things you said to the PC contained a non-confront in them. And that'll be totally unreal to the PC. Now, you can actually get a rise and then find out what stops the rise, and you'll find that can be run also. But that is too tricky e-metering for you to bother with. Never found anybody could do it successfully, so skip it. You trigger the ride and then find out what stops the rise. It's very involved. It's about two cuts above this fall reality rule, but it's so hard to do that you needn't bother with it. It isn't of any value to you. Now, this little drop, large or small drops that you get, they are of considerable value to you. And when you do an assessment, of course, you're looking for that fall because it's potentially real most of the time to the PC. Now, you could completely confirm that fall, and the careful way to assess is to confirm it and ask him if he has a picture of it. And if he has a picture of it, too, you really have got something that is real to the PC. In other words, you get a fall, ask him if he's got a picture of it. You say, leaving, for instance. What do you think about leaving? And so forth. And you get a fall, and you ask the individual, well, do you have a picture of this or something? And he'd say, I have a picture of somebody leaving. Yeah, that's right. Well, you'd have it. You'd have something that was real to the PC. You get the idea? Now you're in his zone of reality. He knows he is obsessively creating this, although he hasn't realized that he is creating it. He can do something about it. And this is a Scientological rule that you find an ability or a reality on the part of the preclear and you improve it. And you find out that if you do that, your cases will always improve. Now, it's perfectly all right to run somebody on nothing but OT processes because he wants to make OT fast. You look at that tone arm, it isn't moving and the needle isn't doing anything, and that's it. Ceases to be interested very suddenly, too. No, assessment has two points, the fall and the rise. And the rise is a not want to confront, unreal. And the fall is a probably real to the PC. Why does it fall and probably real? Well, he's at least creating some mass, and the needle is falling against that change of mass. You see, you're on a point there of something he is creating. Well, if he also can see a picture of it, why then he knows that it is real, and you have achieved a reality. This is quite interesting. That's the mechanics of assessment and why an assessment works. That's all there is to it. Now, if there's no change on the meter at all, he isn't mocking anything up like that. And he isn't not confronting it. And he just isn't, and it just isn't. So trying to run it becomes silly. If you're going to do any auditing at all, at any grade of Scientology, these days it requires a meter, because you've got about 100 times the speed with a meter, and you just keep missing the boat all the time without one. You talk to any auditor who does a lot of auditing, he'd say, what, audit without a meter? Well, yeah, you can run an assist without a meter, you can do a lot of things without a meter. But you can't get any long-time improvement on a case without a meter. Because, you see, the meter tells you what's real to the PC. And this is in conflict because it isn't very often real to you that that's what's real to the PC. See, you have your own realities. The meter gives you a read on his realities and unrealities. So you don't have to keep sorting yours out all the time against the PCs all the time. It just sorts it out, that's all. You're reading his realities. Quite important. Now let's take a look at this scale. And let's take it from failed help on down. And let's just read this off to the PC, repeating each one a couple of times. By the way, if you want to get a good read on a withhold or a good read on a present time problem, a good read on an ARC break, say it twice. At least twice. See, your model session doesn't put that across because it just says it once. Just repeat the same thing again if you really want to be sure. First place, his attention's probably hung up somewhat on the last question. And the first time you ask him, it's somewhat of a warning, you know. And then most, if you're going to get a fall, you'll get the fall on the second question. Now, if you get the fall on the second time you ask this thing, why, of course, you want to ask it some more, get him to define it. And if it doesn't blow right then, you're going to run a process, as indicated in your model session. But if it blows, why, it blows. You say, well, are you withholding anything? And the fellow says, well, yes, I was out last night and got awful drunk, and I'm not in very good shape to have a session, and I was withholding this night. Now, don't run some process. Ask again, are you withholding anything now? And you don't get a buzz on the needle, why, don't do a thing about it. Got the idea? But ask again, after you've gotten the fall and he's told you something, ask again. The fellow says he has a present time problem. And you say, what is it? And he tells you, well, for heaven's sakes, ask again, do you have a present time problem now? Because, bang, bang, just by telling you, he might have blown it on the meter. That's how you waste time in auditing, is auditing things that are already went. Now, you do an assessment on a case. If you wanted to just dream up your own formula, you do an assessment on a case, taking it off from failed help and just assessing on down. Failed help, overts, failed overts, withholds, failed withholds, leaving, fail leaving, protect, failing to protect, abandoning, failing to abandon. And then Oddly enough, you can just call for these on the basis of just help, control, communication, and interest. Now, I would assess interest on, do you have any odd interests or any interests that anyone else would consider odd? On communication, I'd assess something on the order, well, what's wrong with communication? You're going to hit it right there, you see, if the guy lives there. On control, I'd say, well, is all control good or bad? Or what is control? Is it good or bad or what? What is control, you think? I'll tell you, it's all bad. He knows. There's no such thing as good control. And you say, well, did anybody ever help you just to get even with you or something like that? Oh, yes, sir. Oh, yeah, everybody does. These things somewhat defy the imagination when you get down there, and you might make the mistake of thinking you're running the upscale one, see? Odd part of it is that you can run control on the undercut, you know, the lower inverted control, quite successfully, then run a lot of other things and get that help off, because help is the make-break point of this scale. Help is the alliance of the individual with something else and his confusion with that something else, winding up in the belief that he is that something else. Now, that's help. Just as the dynamic principle of existence in Dianetics was survival, you might say help is the closest dynamic expression to survival. And it's the most tangled up one. So the make-break point of help. You try to get a case up to a point where you can run lots of help. Failed help and help and help and help and help and help. You got the idea? You run lots of help on anything that's real to him, you see. That's the way to make fast-lasting gains. Now, help isn't much good to clear a present-time problem because you're hardly off the launching pad before it's evaporated, you see. You'd think, well, if that's the case, if help's so important, then we should run everything with help. Well, we would if it were real to the PC, and it isn't. But you got to have lots of help to get him onto this upper scale and get him away. So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to graduate this case up to running help. So you go doodle-daddling around in the lower parts of the Stygian depths of this particular scale, and you're just wasting more time than you could possibly imagine was wastable in auditing. No, get the falls off. Get the falls off and graduate him up. However you start in on this thing doesn't matter much. You could just run a little bit of each one of these things, and you probably would eventually get some reaction from the PC. Smart way to do is to catch it down at a level where it's real and then run it north on formulas. Now, a formula, you could run two of these things, you see. You could run leaving and protecting. Now, if you got a fall on leaving, I would be prone to run protecting along with it. If you got a fall on protecting, I'm afraid that I would run abandoning along with it. You got the idea? And I would undercut what I had gotten a reality on just to make sure. And then I'd jump up two, you see. We've got to fall on protect. We'd run protect and abandon as a formula. Next time I had a crack at it, you see, I'd run something on the order of leaving, let's say, and withholding. Some such version. The best process for leaving, there are not processes for each one of these, but there happens to be a very good process for leaving, because leaving gives you a no-have if you're not careful. You just ask somebody where he doesn't want to be. Where haven't you wanted to be? You've got leaving and fail leaving and everything else. Trick process. Without running down his havingness. You actually increase his havingness all the time you're running that one. Now, almost anybody will run on any of these somewhat. You see, you can always get some response from a case by running someplace on this. What you want to do is get the most response for the time in auditing. You want to get the most gain for auditing time. That's why you're assessing. Otherwise, you would simply, if you were running without a meter, you would have to be this clumsy. You would say, do you have any peculiar interests? That's the way you'd start your formulas.
Do you have any peculiar interests? The fellows say, well, I don't know. Strangling cats, about the only peculiar interest I could think of at the moment. That's nice. Well, you just would have been lucky. You would have hit the case where it lived. You'll find a lot of other things are wrong with this case that has to strangle cats. Now, you're going to interest this case in helping people when his whole interest is this peculiarity of strangling cats. Oh, no, you're not. So you're not going to get him in session. So the peculiar interest case is the one you should be wary of. You get perversion and all sorts of the oddball things in that zone. Actually, Freudian analysis never got out of that band. That's the whole of Freudian analysis is right there in that band, inverted interest. So any case that didn't have that wrong with him was not for Freud, see? But of course, everybody has some oddball interest of some kind or another. Collecting women or collecting men or something like that in some society would be looked upon as a peculiar interest. Everybody would know in that society you should collect dolls or something. This would be a difference. But the individual should be assessed bottom up and top down from failed help on down, back and forth. You'll find one of these things you can make a formula out of. When you get that thing, well, you can take the next one down to make a formula out of. You know, you take those two, the one you assessed and the one below it. What you do next, would mathematically progress upward, but you would now better take another assessment. And then you won't miss. And then when you take this next assessment, run the one that you got and the one below it again. You'll find he'd gradually graduate on up. Formulas by assessment. This is new. It hasn't been written up particularly, but here, Third South African, I might as well let you in on the fact that there is an assessment that goes along to establish the formula that fits the case. Funny part of it is, just plain failed help gets a case enough off the launching pad, usually, so he can find he's having this and gets into the regimen. So this is only the bulk of cases. This is only the bulk of cases. And if you want to get those additional cases you wouldn't get otherwise, you'd better know how to assess a formula. Okay? Thank you.